grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are times when even I as a pastor, I as a father, I as a friend, sometimes there's things that have to be said, and it's difficult to just say them. The words of our gospel today are some of those words that are difficult to explain, especially this part where he says, many are called, but few are chosen. That's difficult to say. We like to think that if we hear the call of God and join his people in a church, we are the chosen ones. However, this text from St. Matthew's Gospel today puts that notion to doubt. We feel called, and yet this seems to suggest that we may be among the called without being among the chosen. Look at the man in this gospel lesson this morning. He was invited, he came, and then he was thrown out. He just wore the wrong outfit. And bam, he was cast out into the outer darkness, bound hand and foot. What could this possibly mean for us? Now, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. In this parable, we can assume that every detail isn't significant. Jesus uses some Old Testament imagery, things that people of the time, and even you and I today, would understand it. The king, for example, represents God, our Heavenly Father. The Son is the Son of God. The wedding feast is the fulfillment of the kingdom and the outpouring of salvation, which we see as the church. We even talk about heaven as the wedding feast of the Lamb and his bride. God was all set to fulfill his messianic promises and to send his Son to work our salvation. And when he sent out his word through his prophets and his servants, those people of Israel, all those who, according to the parable, had been invited, but simply they were unwilling to come. They ignored the summon of the prophets. They ignored the call to repent. Obviously, they were all a little busy with their lives and the blessings which God, who had blessed them and made them a people. I mean, my goodness, they had farms, livestock, fields, and all this to attend to. They had their place in the market daily, selling their wares. One's own family requires a lot of attention. They have sports, band, vacations, reunions, weddings the night before, the attention of family matters, too many choices, too much wealth, too much to do. So this gospel sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? Was the king to be deterred? No, he wasn't. He sent even more servants out. Still, the people wouldn't listen. Their farms, their businesses, their pleasures, and their families were just of so more important than worshiping God. In fact, they found the preaching of the prophet and the reading of God's word pretty darn irritating. Don't you dare try and tell me the truth. Not right now, I'm busy. How dare you try and tell me I'm a sinful human being? dare they try and tell me that my priorities are out of place? How dare they preach repentance to me? Listen to what Jesus said. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. Many are called, but few are chosen. The whole nation had been called, and so few believed and received eternal life. In fact, the destruction of which this story speaks was Jesus' prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem and destroying of the independent kingdom of the Jews, which actually happened in 70 AD. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. Ah, here we are. Yeah. These verses here, this covers the whole next 2,000 years of history of mankind. This is the Christian church. This is our church. God has sent out his servants, his ministers, his prophets, to invite everyone we can find to the wedding feast. Remember now, the call that went out in our text is the same call going out today. Again, he sent other servants saying, "Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast." The dinner is prepared. Jesus has taken our sins to the cross and paid for them and met the justice of God in our place with his death upon the cross. Our sins have been forgiven, and God is pouring out eternal life to all who hear the invitation to the feast of salvation, the wedding feast of the Lamb to his bride, the church. All is ready, or as Jesus put it from the cross, it is finished. The cry of the prophet is the same message as the proclamation of your pastor. Repent and believe, come to the feast. Now, Judgment Day. That is a day which in fact is going to come. It is really going to happen. The king comes in to look over the guests. The guests are all of those who've come into the church, but not all as the assembly of those who believe. This is the church that we see here on earth, with believers and hypocrites mingled together. There are those who are truly Christ, and then there are those who are represented by that one man without the wedding garment. You see, in the time of our Lord, when he walked on this earth, the king would provide the wedding garment to everyone who was invited to the wedding. These clothes, they were festival clothes, sometimes brightly colored, and they were always brand new. One of the benefits of being invited to a wedding was that, hey, we get a new outfit. an entirely new robe of righteousness, the robe of righteousness of Christ. But back then, this was a world where people generally wore their entire wardrobe every day of their lives. New clothes were better than money. God has clothed each one of us who believes with the wedding garment of holiness, the robe of Christ's righteousness, which is ours in the forgiveness of sins. So, the question is pretty simple. Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? On that great and last day when our Lord's return comes, and we are asked this question, friend, how did you get in here? Will we too stand there speechless like that man in the parable? Sitting here in church, as you all are, you are expected to be wearing the righteousness of Christ. Baptized and redeemed by God by the work of the Holy Spirit. Pure before God because of the atonement Christ won for us upon the cross at Calvary. Yet many will just simply perform some lip service or just go through the motions for one lame reason or another. But now on the other hand, how can anyone who actually hears the gospel regularly not be wearing a wedding garment? How can anyone who sits in these pews, who often comes to a Bible study, who reads the Word of God and shares it with others, how can they not be wearing the wedding garment? Well, it's because they just don't believe, or more specifically, they refuse to believe. There are people like that in our church. But the vast majority of those professing to be Christian will be saved, as the work and the promises of God declare. So I announce to you, come, the feast is ready. You are all present in the banquet hall. We have a feast of the foretaste. We have a foretaste of the feast to come right here upon this altar. Today you are invited once again. Each of you has been presented a wedding garment, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, you are called and chosen. Let the good news of the gift of forgiveness and the love of God guide your thoughts and your humble hearts and shape your actions in your day-to-day living. Your sins have been forgiven because of Jesus. Repent and believe. Examine yourselves daily. Cling to Jesus Christ and His Word and His sacrament. For many are called, all of humanity, in fact, is called, but few are chosen. Stand fast as one who has been called and chosen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now may the peace, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.